Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I am your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and the pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing very good, bro.
Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
All right. Well, praise the Lord. Just a quick little tidy up info for you guys. Wanted to get this out for you guys. We're going to be out. Well, I specifically, Chad, will be out in Texas here. This is Tuesday. I'll be out there on Thursday night in Belverde, Texas. For anyone who is not busy and would love to come and hear a little teaching on doctrine, I'll be giving it at the Hampton Inn in Belverde, Thursday, September 19th, 6 to 8 p.m. Love to have you out. Love to have you, you know, if you want to hopefully hang out around and talk a little doctrine and stuff. I'll have some of the Good Fight materials there if you want to purchase any, or I'm sure I'll probably give away more than anyone purchases, but we'll be out there. I'll be out there with my wife and a couple of wrestlers that, praise the Lord, Joe and I actually recently baptized, and we're going to come out and do some ministry out there. So love to meet with you. We have a couple of different fellowships. I know right now we have one specifically in Belverde that meets for the live stream service, and if you guys haven't been to our website at blessedhopechapel.org, please go there if you're looking for maybe a live feed in your area where people are meeting and watching together and congregating a little bit. We just have one, and we have one in New York as well as Texas. And I think not only in Belverde, we're going to be probably, there was somebody I spoke with actually today that is going to start hopefully one up in Austin. So yeah, just we have those out there. We have the live feed available to you because we've been getting so many different, I mean, honestly, we've been so many awesome, encouraging texts and encouraging emails and encouraging messages all over the place that we're getting because of the podcast shows, because of the live feeds, because of the things that we're offering now. You guys are getting from Good Fight Ministries and Blessed Hope Chapel, because we work in unison. Everyone involved in Good Fight Ministries is also involved at Blessed Hope Chapel. So because of that, you're getting seven different videos a week, or audio, seven different audio clips a week to check out and be encouraged. So I really pray you guys have been encouraged. We're always blessed when you guys send us emails and stuff and tell us that. And that's one of the reasons that we actually covered this last episode on Monday and covering today. One of the reasons we cover this issue is not something we wanted to cover, so to speak, and that was the suicide of Jared Wilson, the associate pastor at the Riverside portion of Harvest Christian Fellowship. That would be under the teachings of Greg Laurie. And we covered his suicide not only because it's something that's important that we talk about, but also because we heard a lot of people asking, hey, we've heard a lot of different theories on this, a lot of things online that we're reading, and we would love your ministry to cover this. I don't know what to say. Maybe you don't have the text that you want to go to in scripture off your head, and hopefully with the last episode and with this episode that we can kind of get into that for you, that we can dig into the scriptures and that you guys can see it's not just merely our opinion. One of the things that we've been talking about that we've seen online are multiple people over and over again basically giving this a license, you know, that idea of, hey, he's better now, he's at peace, he was suffering. When we look back and recognize the sadness is the fact that not only does he have a congregation that he was leading, especially from 18 to 30 year olds, where we're really seeing a lot of those people commit suicide, but also his family, his wife, his two boys, just absolutely heartbreaking. And I know I'm always excited when I come to do episodes with Joe and Tony, and we're going to talk about biblical truth. But I remember I was leaving Joe's house, and I said, oh, we're ready to go record, to Lisa, Joe's wife. And I was like, yeah, I'm not as excited as I usually am, because the topic, it's serious. It's not just serious, it's a sad topic, and it breaks my heart to think about these things. But what's cool about this episode is We want to do it on hope. We don't want to do it merely on the sadness of everything that we're that's going on in that family, that church family, the people online, people involved with their ministry Anthem of Hope. But also, we want to talk about and dig into what the Word of God says when it comes to hope. And one of the things that Joe ended on was talking about what he does specifically at funerals and for someone who has committed suicide. And while that hasn't, praise God, it hasn't happened, and it could happen in the future, and we pray against that, Lord, please. But nobody from our congregation necessarily has committed suicide. But Joe has had to do a number of funerals about four people that had committed suicide. And he sought the Lord, and the word of the Lord that was given unto him was from Luke 13. And the text, I'll read specifically where he's coming from when he talks about Siloam and what happened there. And it's from Luke chapter 13, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish.'" And Joe, maybe I'll let you go a little bit back into that before we dig back into some of the more hopeful scriptures of where you were leaning towards that in your teaching.
Yeah, we're planning on doing one show on this. This is part two because at the end, I wanted to get a lot of scriptures on in on hope. We had a message, I don't know, about a year ago I did or so, I'm not sure when. It was it's called 1,000 Reasons Not to Commit Suicide. And obviously, we don't give an actual 1,000 reasons, but we give reasons that magnify themselves more than 1,000 reasons because of how important they are. And my wife had just shown me, Chad actually posted that recently on our Facebook yesterday or what have you. So I encourage you to look at that because that's helped a lot of people. The response we see on YouTube, we're really blessed to see how many people were blessed by that. My wife, too, showed me on Facebook that a gal had posted it. She goes, "Look, you know, this gal posted your video, 1,000 Reasons Not to Commit Suicide." Well, we don't want to just talk about the warnings not to commit suicide, as important as that is. We want to show that there's hope, and we weren't able to get to that so much at the end there. So I thought, let's do another show on that. Anyway, that passage right there, you know, I'm asked often, you know, I shouldn't say often, but a number of times, you know, isn't it hard to do funerals? You especially get those questions during times when you do funerals. And there was one gentleman that hopped from our fellowship to a couple other churches who was still partying and not giving up his drugs and stuff. And he'd hop around a bit. I tried encouraging the Lord who had committed suicide. And never a person that had been a member, and that could happen any day. And we preached Jesus and hope and so forth. And in 30 years, by the grace of God, you know, we have a pretty good track record. But as I said, there could be two or three in the next year. You never know, you know. But the problem is that we face in doing funerals as pastors, you're between speaking the truth and giving God's warnings against killing, murdering yourself, and the pain and anguish that goes with that regarding, you know, the family members, the relatives. That's really hard. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, some of you've lost family members, perhaps to suicide, and that's got to be one of the most heart-wrenching experiences you can ever endure. So on one hand, you want to be comforting and loving and encouraging to them, but you can't lie. And I'm not going to say regarding someone who has, you know, blown their brains out that, hey, that person is, you know, worshiping the Lord and he's in peace and joyful before the Lord right now for two reasons. Number one, the scriptures don't say that. The scriptures never state that somebody who kills himself, and I encourage you to listen to the last message if you hadn't heard that, because I don't want to reiterate everything I said there and lose our time in this show. But number two, you're basically giving an advertisement that, hey, if you're in a really bad trial, I mean, can you imagine if somebody actually believed that they're in a horrific trial and they're so painful and they feel like dying and they're incredibly humiliated or feel an exceptional amount of loss or they're an incredible intense amount of mourning or they're in a lot of pain. You let them know, oh, you know what? If you kill yourself, you'll be in eternal bliss. You'll be so joyful for all of eternity. You know how many people would do that? All kinds of people. So when you tell somebody that someone's committed suicide, but they're with the Lord right now, you're basically giving a green light. And actually, you could be the impetus that pushes them off the ledge to commit suicide. And I mentioned in the last episode that John MacArthur, him and his fellowship had been sued because of a Mr. Nally, a young man who committed suicide because during counseling they taught him that if he committed suicide, once he was saved, he was would always be saved. Whatever happened to perseverance of the saints among the Calvinists anyway? And this man went out and committed suicide and so forth. And, you know, I know this gentleman who committed suicide that's been in the news lately, especially in Christian news, the pastor at Greg Laurie's church, Chad had read some quotes from his teaching that, hey, you go to heaven if you commit suicide. So he believed the lie. And we always say wrong doctrine leads to wrong living. And it's heartbreaking because he was encouraging other people to let them know, don't worry, if you do commit suicide, basically, you're going to go to heaven. And it just breaks my heart. And it's hard to talk about these things. So I use that passage. I mentioned in the last episode, and we kind of, you know, tailored off pretty quick at the end there because we're trying to squeeze it all in. But that I cried out to the Lord all night before funeral. And I had a funeral of this gentleman. He laid in bed, you know, after slitting his wrist for who knows how long. They said it took some time for him to die. And I didn't know, you know, where he was at in the last moments. I don't know if he was crying out to God, saying, God, have mercy on me. I can't believe I'd done this, and repented. I didn't know where his heart was. And so what I do with the suicide is I don't say, hey, this person's in heaven. As hard as that is not to say that, because you have family members that want to believe that, I'm sure. I couldn't say that. So I cried out to the Lord. And by the way, another side note is I've had a number of people come to me. My own mother came to me years ago, and a doctor had committed suicide, and all the nursing staff, she was a nurse at the hospital there, and they went to a Catholic funeral, and the priest talked all about how he's in heaven. And my mom said, Joe, that's not biblical, is it? I said, no, it's not. And she's brought that up to me, I don't know, probably 10 times through the years, that it just recently too, that horrifier, that he was giving that message to everybody there. And a number of people that Chad and I and Tony have talked to have come to us after funerals through the years saying, I can't believe what they were saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, the poor people listening, what if people are suicidal? Yeah, and you know what? Who knows how many, potentially hundreds of thousands or maybe millions through the years have heard that message and committed self-harm, committed suicide. So that's really heartbreaking. So what I did, and I cried out to the Lord. I said, Lord, please. And I didn't have an answer for a little bit. I continued to wrestle with the Lord. Lord, please give me a scripture that I can use that would please you in this. And because it's such a tough one to deal with. And I mentioned at the end of that message, a suicide message, said, I don't know where he was at. His heart was at the end. And I'm not going to personally make judgment. I do know what the Bible says, though, about suicide and self-murder, you know. And I said, you know what? I don't know where he's at, where his heart was at. Because the Lord knows the heart at the end, right? I don't know if he repented at the end or not, if he had time to or what have you. But I said, I do know what the scriptures say. And then I went to that passage that Chad just read. And that was what was given to me when I cried out to the Lord. And that was so perfect when the Lord put that on my heart. Because in Luke chapter 13, Jesus is dealing with the questions regarding what's befallen certain people who died. Whether it was the Tower of Siloam that had fallen on them, or the others who were mingled with the blood of the sacrifice by Pilate, who killed these Galileans. And Jesus said, you suppose these Galileans were more wicked than the rest in Jerusalem? And he turned it on them. Instead of discussing where their souls went, he said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And he brought up both incidences, and after each one, he mentioned, twice he said it, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And I notice that Jesus, who is the master teacher, he's God in the flesh. He's perfect, right? So you want to study and read his word constantly, is that when he would share the truth with people, when he'd share the gospel with people, when he would share his word, people would want to get into, you know, deep theological debates at times. And oftentimes he just turned it to them and basically, where are you at? So that's when somebody says, what about the Aborigines? Sometimes I'll try to wax eloquent and I'll go through all kinds of scripture, you know, that the Lord reveals his covenant to those who fear him and so forth. And he gives more light to those.
That's for another episode.
Yeah, exactly.
We can talk about that.
Yeah, and I'll go into all that, you know. But a lot of times I'll just cut to the chase when I'm out street witnessing. And I'll say, hey, you know what? God's got a plan for the Aborigines. They're either going to respond to it or not. But the question is, I'm telling you the gospel right now. And Jesus said, "He that's not with me is against me. Unless you repent, you'll perish. You need to make sure you're right with God because you don't have an excuse and you're hearing the gospel right now. Tell him in love." But, you know, and that's basically what I did at the funeral. I've had a couple funerals like that. And it was the last funeral I did that scripture hit my heart so hard. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to share with them. Where are you at? Because guess what? You are having an opportunity right now. You need to make sure that you're right with God. So that's one of the angles we use. And I know we're going to get into some scriptures on hope, which I want to share in a little bit as well.
Yeah, and I'll just talk real quick because you're mentioning funerals. And I remember as a new believer going to a couple of funerals, and this idea, and it could go further than suicide. I personally haven't had any, but I had a couple of friends when I was younger, before I was a believer, who committed suicide. But I remember just going to funerals in general of non-believers. I mean, I was at a funeral, and I was so heartbroken because I literally was like, wow, I'm going to see a lot of people. Actually, I brought Holly, my wife, and I said, we're going to see, this before she was my wife, we were just courting at the time, and I remember I said, hey, we're going to go see a lot of people that I used to party with, that I used to hang out with, and I praise God because at least they're going to hear the gospel, they're going to hear a gospel message, and I was like, you know, it's better to be at a place of mourning than a place of feasting. So I was like, okay. At least I was excited. I was praying about it. I was like, there's going to be probably 150 people that I was friends with, that I've partied with. And we go to the funeral, and the person who passed away was in a marriage where he was not with the person anymore, and he was driving from a bar to go sleep with another woman that wasn't his wife. And on the way to that encounter, he drove off the side of the road and died.
Look, God.
And then he never made a real profession of faith, nothing like that. The last conversation I did have with him was with, who is now my brother-in-law, telling him, dude, when you move back out here, you got to get your daughter in church, and you got to start coming to church, you got to do the right things, you got to follow the Lord. But I know that that person was not a believer. There was no assurance of salvation. Mm-hmm. I can't know exactly. We can talk about that. Love hopes all things. But when you sit up there and tell people, if you want to, and he said this, if you want to get to heaven, you want to see him again, you need to love like he loved. You need to act like him. I was like, no, you need to repent and turn to Jesus. And it broke my heart. I went home. I cried. I was like, all these people just were given a false message.
Wow.
And it broke my heart. And so it's something, funerals have always had a place in my heart. I watched the best man at my wedding. We did the funeral here. And I was blessed enough to be at, his grandparents were there, that we went outside of his house, prayed for them over and over again. And then you would later baptize his grandmother. And it's a beautiful story.
They're in the fellowship now.
In the fellowship now. They have been for years after
funerals
that.
Are a great way to witness.
So yeah, they are. Amen. So I know that wasn't supposed to be the subject, but the fact is, as we change gears here, the fact is we're talking about hope. The reason what we are selling people is a hope in Jesus, a true hope, not a fake one, a real hope. And that's actually something that Paul wrote. Speaking of, you know, the rapture, but he wrote this. He said, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, those who have died, so that you will not grieve as the rest or the world who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." So our hope and rest is in Jesus Christ. The people that have no hope, they weep differently. Everything is different, but we have a fixed hope. So we want to talk about, and I know Joe wants to talk about, that's why we decided, literally while sitting here in the last episode, we got to do a whole episode on hope, because what we have is a true foundation. And so Joe, I'd love for you to talk a little bit more. Hey, these guys, they have no hope. This is why they do these things, but we actually have a hope.
Yeah, amen. In fact, Jesus was tempted in every way like unto us, the scriptures say. So that means he was tempted with, that means the enemy probably threw suicide into his mind. We know he tried to get him to jump from the pinnacle of the temple.
He literally did, yeah.
You know? And we know Jesus' sweat, blood mixed with actual sweat, perspiration. Luke, who's a doctor, tells us this, which is hematidrosis, which is very rare. Only 100 plus cases have been forensically reported through the centuries, and Jesus was one of them. He went through intense anguish. He had, I think it's chapter 5 of Hebrews, it talks about he had strong crying, you know, before the Father. He went through intense pain, but he went to the cross, and it was before the hope, because the hope that was before him, that he endured the cross, the joy, it says in Hebrews, the joy that was set before him, that he endured the cross. We have to keep our eyes focused on the Lord. We have to keep our eyes on the prize that is given to the faithful. Well done, you know, good and faithful servant. So I thought, you know, when I thought about this, and I did the message, A Thousand Reasons, I gave a lot of warnings there. I gave a lot of scriptures, I believe, on hope as well. I didn't even look at that message in the notes for that because I wanted this to be fresh word, fresh oil, you know. But I'm probably going to be repeating myself a bit, I'm sure. But I just thought, you know what? I want to focus on some of those who went through some really hard times in scripture, because these scriptures are written, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, they're written to warn us so we don't fall the same way others have fell. But we also read in Romans chapter 15 that God's also given us the scripture so that we would have hope, so we could have a perseverance, so we could endure. And I think, you know, there's a lot of examples in the Old Testament, but you can look at Joseph, who was rejected by his family. A lot of people have broken relationships, and sometimes the enemy puts suicide in their minds, and he tries, and who knows how many hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions through the years, who have committed suicide because of broken relationships, whether it's a Romeo and Juliet type situation, or it's rejection from family, what have you. Joseph was rejected by all of his brothers, you know. Benjamin wasn't born yet when he was rejected, but all the living ones, and they sold him into slavery. They talked about killing him. They put him in a pit. They sold him to the Gentiles. But at the end of his life, he revealed himself. He was a picture of Christ, right? And he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And I think it's vital that we understand that God's sovereign, that he's ultimately in control. There's nothing that God doesn't allow to happen that he doesn't have a purpose in. And that's why that great verse in Romans 8:28, it says, we know that God works all things, not some things, not most things, but all things together for the good. Anything you're going through, God works it for the good for those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. They work for the good for those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. And that's important because it goes on to talk about those whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So if you love God, he foreknew that you would be in relationship with him. He foreknew that you'd respond to his grace. In fact, in Corinthians, Paul says, those who love God are foreknown by him. So he has a plan, and it's to make you conform to Jesus. And he uses sandpaper sometimes. He uses all the tools in the toolbox that sometimes can be painful, but he has a good end for us. And that's what's happening and I think it's a powerful one there, because you read the narrative, most of the chapters, more than any other subject, deal with Joseph and his rejection and then his acceptance and him being a picture of Christ who's recognized by the Jews who'd rejected him at the end. The same thing will happen with Jesus when they see him whom they pierced, and there'll be joyful time then as well. And Jesus could have just gave up. He didn't. He suffered more than anybody suffered, and God used that all for the good because that was part of his redemptive plan. Joseph suffered more than just about anybody you'll find in the Old Testament besides Job. And he's the one who said, what you meant for evil, God meant for the good. We see this again and again and again in the Old Testament. In fact, it's interesting. In Romans 8:18, Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings, it's what you're going through right now, are not worth comparing. Can't even compare them with the glory that we revealed in us. And the context there is as we await our resurrection, as we await. And this life is a vapor. Whatever you're going through right now, you keep in mind, this life goes fast. And you know what? There's tears in the evening, but there's joy in the morning, the scriptures say. And a lot of times people commit suicide in the midst of their tears, and they don't realize that the joy is right around the corner, and they cut themselves short. And how heartbreaking is that? And Romans 8, everybody loves Romans 8:28, but I love Romans 8:18 just as much, almost, that I consider the present sufferings that we're going through right now to be compared with the glory that we revealed. Reminds me a lot of 2 Corinthians 4:17, where the Apostle Paul writes, for our light, calls them light, and momentary troubles. And you might say, well, Paul could say light. I mean, man, he doesn't know what I'm going through. You know what? Paul went through the New Testament, just as Job went through more than anybody in the Old Testament. And I'd say Joseph was a close second. Paul went through more than anybody in the New Testament besides Jesus himself. And he was stoned and left for dead. He was whipped multiple times. He was rejected by the brethren. He was, on and on, beaten over and over again numerous times. He says, for our light and momentary troubles. Look at his perspective. And often, not this letter, but he wrote Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians from prison. And he talks about joy in Philippians more than any other book. He talks about joy in his prison epistles more than all the other books put together. How does he have such great joy? Because he said he learned the secret that he could abound. He learned the secret of abounding, doing great, and being abased, going without anything. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You have to rely on the power of Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ revealed to Paul after he prayed three different times, Lord, please take this take this thorn from me. It's so painful. And the Lord revealed himself to him and said, Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness, and my grace is sufficient for you. And he learned that the Lord allowed him to go through certain things, Paul said, so he wouldn't become arrogant and proud because of all the visions he had. Remember, Paul's the one who warned that a new convert could be puffed up because of his knowledge as a new believer and fall under the same condemnation that Satan got. So Paul realized that God allowed him to go through certain trials, so he wouldn't fall away. And he thanked God for that. You have no idea why God allows you to go through certain things. What you have to do is recognize that our brains are very small compared to God's. I mean, a pea compared to the earth wouldn't be an exaggeration. I mean, it's infinitely bigger. And I speak of a brain in a metaphorical sense because God is the Father's Spirit, right? But it's so amazing when you think of this. But consider this. Paul said right after that, so we fix our eyes on what is seen. Or I'm sorry. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So brothers and sisters, I think the best example is Job, because Job was literally tempted to commit suicide. Satan's objective, he said he was going to get Job to curse God and die. He said this to God. He comes to the earth and he inspires Job's wife. Curse God and die, she says. And he refuses to. You know what Job does instead? And I think this is encouraging, because keep in mind, he had boils head to toe. He was going through all kinds of trials, having demonic visions and nightmares and lost his children. That would be the hardest thing. Look at what I'm going to give you some of the quotes of what Job said. Listen to this. And these are scattered amidst a lot of him complaining at times, him being sad. But look at these rays of light he got that can encourage you during hard times. In chapter 1, verse 21, he said, naked I came to the world, naked I'll leave the world. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He still praised God. He also says he wished for a mediator, that there was a mediator between him and the Father. And Paul said, we have a mediator between God the Father and us, Jesus Christ the Son, who gave himself as a ransom for all. He said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. He said, you know what? Even though I feel like God slay me, I'm going to praise him anyway. He continued to endure in the faith. And you know what? He also said, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my Redeemer lives. That's amazing that he could say that. And then he said, I know that I'll see him in the flesh. He talked about the resurrection, that with my own eyes, I'll see him in the flesh. And you know what he said at the end, or not at the end, I should say, at a certain point in the book of Job, he said, I know that when God's done with me, I'll come forth as gold. He realized he was in the cauldron of fire, and God had a plan. And at the end of his life, James tells us what happened. At the end of his life in James chapter 5, and I'm going to read this to you. It's such a beautiful passage. In James chapter 5, James talks about how the prophets endured, and we should emulate them, we should imitate them. And he says this, it's pretty powerful. Listen to this. James chapter 5, verse 9 says, do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Then he uses Job as his prime example. We count those blessed who endured. Endure, brothers, you'll be blessed. Sisters, you'll be blessed. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. And at the end of Job, you see he gets twice as much as he lost and twice as much family, because he has family in heaven.
Yeah, I just want to finish it off with this one last set of verses, because it's something that I think about a lot, and it's a portion of scripture that I like to keep to memory. And it's Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.